Okay. So it's that ministry of Deborah that we see as we look at the story of Barak. And I just got some highlighted things there because I think it's just so awesome. Barak is not going to obey God's word. He is not going to move out unless Deborah ministers to him. And I just love the way that Deborah does it. One, she used questions. One, is God speaking to you? Has God spoken to you? And she doesn't beat Barak up because, you know, she could have said, you rascal, you already know what God is. How come you ain't moving? How come you ain't doing? How come you don't have faith? How come you're not moving? She doesn't do that. She ministers to him. How does she minister to him? She meets him where he is. She meets Barak where he is, and then she ministers. She encourages him. She encourages him to do what? To obey the word and the will of God. And I just love this from last week. The application for today is, what is the role that we are playing to get people to trust in the word of God? Do we discourage or do we encourage? If you know the truth of God's word, you see somebody that needs to be able to have faith and move out on that word, we can't be beating them up over that. Now, there might be a time when we start to beat them up, but it's not out the box. We have to meet them where they are and minister to them and get them to understand and obey and have faith in the word of God. Okay. Where do we leave off, Al? All right, well, we're just going to go through verse 9. All right, and she said in verse 9, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera, who is the leader of the enemy's troops, into the hand of a woman. So if you're a woman, this is like this is your day, because it's all about women ministry today. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And I want you to notice this. Barak was traveling by himself, but now he's got Deborah, the voice of God, going with him. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. Is there a surprise? Just some points here that I got in my notes. One, what Barak is getting ready to go through is not for his glory. Catch that? Somebody else is going to get the glory, and God in the end gets the glory. So a lot of the things, a lot of the problems that we see in front of us, it is not for our glory. But we are participants in this struggle so that somebody else gets the glory based upon what we go through. Oh, I know, ain't nobody got. Now, I know that didn't hit anybody. That's not applicable for anybody on the call. I'm just saying this is what's happening to Barak. God is letting them know through this prophet, Deborah, hey, you're going to go through something and there's a victory on the way, but it ain't about you. Somebody else is going to get the glory over what you got to go through. All right. And he gets 10,000 men. All right. Should we be surprised that 10,000 men are at his command? Talk to me. Let me give the question again. Should we be surprised that 10,000 men, all right, are with him?
No.
Why not?
Because this is the day of the Lord.
Okay, I'll take that one. I think Nita had a different answer from you.
But God told him, take with you 10,000 men.
So he first knew that the 10,000 were supposed to come because it was where?
Because God told him.
And did God tell him in Braille, or did God tell him through a word? So Barak should not have been surprised, because the word said this is how this is going to play out.
Right.
Boom. Application. When you see God starting to move and you experience a partial fulfillment, stop grinning, Norm. See him grinning ear to ear already. All right. it should encourage you that he isn't lining all this up for you to fail. And I just love, as I was studying this, I'm looking at Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you is faithful to do what? Complete it. So he's not setting you up for failure. You got to go. Anyway, let me just keep going. All right. So now Heber, verse 11, Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab. Man, these names. And the father-in-law of Moses had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent into the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. And he showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera, verse 13, gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. So the enemy is on the way. When does the enemy show up? That's a question for you. Look at the scripture. When does the enemy show up? When does the enemy start to pursue the rock?
He's obeying the Lord.
Boom! When he obeys the Lord and starts moving out. Oh, wait a minute. Had God started blessing him before he had to go into the battle? How do you know? How do we know that he's getting blessed before the enemy comes? Oh, so you're saying he had stuff working for him that he didn't have before. I call that blessings. And yet the enemy still shows up. Has anybody ever faced a time when you see God blessing you, but tough times are still following those initial blessings?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 900 chariots. All right. Here's a couple of questions. I picked this up last night. How does Sisera know where to go? How did Sisera know where to find Barak?
Look at this. He had help.
He had help. Or somebody knows how to read my notes. All right. Praise God. Where did he get help from? Well,
the Kenite?
Yeah, okay, which is a distant relative of sorts or whatever, all right? So here's the application that I saw today. The enemy or the problem that wants to attack you, all right, the enemy won't attack unless he knows where you are and there are certain elements or agents that are working against you and against the will of God for your life. Because the enemy wants to stop what God is trying to do in you. Got it? That's just a quick one. I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time there. Unless somebody sees something. I want to spend time on verse 14 because I think this thing is awesome. So, he's in the mountaintop, hilltop, close to God, having communion with God, got the word of God with him, got Deborah with him. Boom, da, boom, da, boom. Deborah says to him, and the enemy is coming out to surround him with 900 chariots. All right. So technologically, he doesn't have the technological advances. His army is not as technologically advanced as the enemy's army. The enemy's got many more people than the 10,000 that he's got. 10,000 is a lot, but the enemy's got more. All right. The enemy shows up. Deborah says to Barak, up.
Get ready.
This is it's go time. For this is the day. I highlighted that. Not tomorrow. This is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. And then she hits him with a question. is the Lord in front of you. Has not the Lord gone in front of you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. So my notes. Deborah tells Barak, this is the day. She says that God's in front of you. It's not, don't you see? I love, she forms it in the way of a question. Let's do this right now. Question. I've got it here. Why does Barak leave the mount to deal with the enemy? A problem that's bigger than him. Why does he leave that mount?
Deborah told him that this is the day that the Lord is going to give the enemy to
you. Somebody who was connected to the Word of God and somebody who understood the Word of God was able to do what? Give him that word that encouraged him to do what? Deal with the problem and get after it. Woo! What did she tell him that encouraged him to go?
That the Lord was ahead of him. It's already gone before him.
Now, as I looked at this, scripture the first time, I'm like, the scripture here does not tell us how God moved out before him. You get that? So as I'm reading the scripture, I'm thinking, well, God must have done something in order to show Barak that he was in front of this. So I'm going to stop sharing for a minute. And I'm going to do this, if I can. And just hold on with me for a minute. I got to do something here. And when I do it, I think I'm good there. All right. So I'm getting ready to share my screen. I want to share this with you. A little bit of a testimony. And all right. Here we go. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go next page. Let me go page down. The question is he in front of this? As soon as I figure out how to do my page down, I will. All right. So I was a director making me some big money. All right. In a local company. Only Norm knows what that company is. I was a director. I was one of the highest ranking minorities in that particular firm, making over six figures and was doing quite well. All of a sudden, I got downsized and went from good money to no money. All right. So, then if I can get it to go, come on here. Oh, here we go. About a week after I lost that job, I got two more jobs, remote jobs, making like $54, $57, $56 an hour. I mean, good money. Two more jobs. God blessing me. Then I got a third job out of the base, making $30,000 less, but more job security. For some reason, I went ahead and took the third job, let the other two go, and I'm making less money. I'm not a director anymore. And I found myself complaining sometimes. Al, what am I complaining about?
Pride.
Pride? I ain't making as much money. I feel like I'm going, I ain't the director no more. I don't have the power to influence no more. I don't have the status anymore. People ask me what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this. I cut myself because I believe that somehow or another God is in this. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. Could have had no job. All right. Then all of a sudden something else happened. They put me in charge of a project called Moodle. Like, what the heck is a Moodle? They put me in charge of something called Moodle. And at first I'm like, I don't want to be in charge. I want to be in charge of nothing called Moodle. What the heck is a Moodle? I said, Moodle. It's some kind of software application that does online website learning stuff or whatever. I'm like, I'm a project manager. I ain't trying to do no Moodle stuff. But I wound up doing Moodle, and all of a sudden, and I kept fighting it. They were like, I'm like one of the top experts in the office now on this Moodle stuff. I got people, Air Force people coming to me, can I train us on Moodle? And I'm like still complaining, like, no, I don't want to be the expert on Moodle. That ain't what I went to school for. That is Moodle. Then all of a sudden, a friend of mine, after about 2 years of this, said, hey, man, I'm the ministry, prison ministry director over at First Baptist Church. I want to transition. I want you to be my replacement. So it became a prison ministry opportunity for me. And all of a sudden, I didn't realize this until a few days ago. I'm a director again. And they give me a few pennies to do it. So that's cool. So then the next thing that happens is COVID hits. Can't do no prison visits. Can't do no prison ministry. I'm like, oh, what is this? Why would you make me a director of prison ministry and I can't do prison ministry? That's crazy. Well, then something else happened. The state decided to change. It says, hey, look, this COVID thing is going to have us change it. We want online training, but they don't have any money for online training. They don't have a budget for online training. They don't have a solution for online training. And so the guy comes to me going, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I'm like, well, this is very interesting. You don't have an online training. You don't have anybody that would do online training. But I know something called
Moodle.
And he said, we have no expertise in Moodle. I said, you don't have to. I know Moodle. So we just set up the first online training website for the entire state of Alabama, Department of Corrections, to host their first online training so that everybody who used to have to train in person now trains online. I am the administrator because we're using Moodle. That's not a Moodle, baby. So yesterday I said, hey, I'm looking for young people who would like to intern. So I met this young guy. His name is Jalen, not our Jalen, but our Jalen could be on this if he wants to. And he's a young kid or whatever. And I said, where do you work? I said, I work at Chick-fil-A. I'm like, that's neat. But how would you like to have a job? I ain't got a whole lot of money for you. I can't pay you a lot. But how would you like to have a job where instead of cooking good chicken is on your resume, you could have on your resume help create the first ever learning management system for the entire state of Alabama Department of Corrections on your resume? And he said, I like it, but I don't know how to do it. So I said, don't worry about it. I'll show you how to use Moodle. I'm going to turn this dude's life around. Question. When did God get in front of? Oh, I'm going to say, I am so encouraged because there are other states out there that are not going to be able to do what the state of Alabama is going to be able to do in a couple weeks. I think God's doing something with this. I don't know what it is, but he's in front of this. Question for you. I'm encouraged. I think God is all over the prison ministry right now. I think this is awesome. Question. When did God get in front of this? As you look at the screen. Pardon me?
When you lost your directorship.
Right? Whoa! Why would you say that?
God got your attention and there and took you to where
I got to agree with you, my brother. And that's the thing that we need to be, I'm not sharing the right thing. I think that's the thing that we need to be aware of. When we look at this lesson, because oftentimes I'm waiting to see God move out first. Here you go. I'm waiting for God to move out first before I move out. But if you already see that you have more than what you had before, if you already see that you have those blessings in front of you, if you can recognize that what you have now is not what you had before, and that those things came from the Lord, you don't have to wait for God to do something else in front of your next move. He's already proven that he's in front of this. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Application points. Look at Barak's faith, because he certainly could have looked at the enemy and his problem that he had to face and turn around. Instead, he rises up. Why does he rise up? Because, man, Deborah is there to share that word with him and encourage him to move out. What evidence did Barak have that God had gone out before him? Because just like according to God's word, he is partially fulfilling his promise. He's just going through the process and the steps. Just like you guys said, God said, you're going to take 10,000 people. He didn't have 10,000 people. Turn around and look, and what does he have? 10,000 people. Just like God said he would. Is the problem still scary? You know what? When he got to 10,000 people, that should have told him right there, boom, hey, God's in front of us. I'm ready to roll. Why did Deborah, you think, had to encourage them even though the blessings were all around him? Talk to me. If he already sees that he's got more and that God is blessing and God is in the process of fulfilling his word with him, it just hasn't happened fully yet. Why do you think Deborah has to encourage him even now in the face of all these blessings? Pardon me? Ah, because sometimes even though you've had that mountaintop experience, oh, here you go. Even though you can have that mountaintop experience with the Lord, when it comes down to the battle, when it comes down to you having to really face that problem, you still might need some encouragement from the Lord or from somebody who understands that word, because even in the midst of your Holy Spirit mountaintop experience, you can still get scared. You can still have some doubt. And and I love the fact that while it looked bad, God has this. You know, when we first started praying for Mandy and we started praying for others or whatever, when you look at what doctors are saying, what people are saying or whatever, it looks bad. But we just keep on praying. And if we can find blessings and encouragement along the way to see that God is already in front of this. Well, let me just ask you, class, where do we stand today? Are we the Deborahs that encourage others to be strong in the faith? Or are we those who are like Barak and we need somebody to encourage us so that we can move out? Yeah. So we got to have this word down in our spirit. And that's why I love the way Norm, when he prayed scripture. I prayed scripture. I don't know what the heck Susan was doing, but Psalms was coming out of there somewhere. She's praying scripture. I was like, either this girl went to private school or she's reading scripture. So I'm praying the word of God back to the one who says he's going to keep his word. The application, when you receive blessings that you didn't have before that line up with the Word of God, that's a pretty good sign that God is still out there in front of you. I got a point here that this might be critical, because if you focus on the problem, as Roger said, if you focus on the problem rather than on the blessings behind you, you might miss the God who is still in front of you. Don't miss the victory that is on the way. If you see evidence of God being with you, then this is your day. Verse 15, and the Lord discomforted Sisera and all his chariots. Now, we're going to be able to go through this real quick, Al. We might, you know, Davey might be getting a little nervous here, because there's not much else in this chapter. All right. And the Lord discomforted Sisera, verse 15, and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword from Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. He chased them all the way back to where they came from. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, the snitch, for there was peace between him, between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. All right, got some notes here that you can see. God made Sisera uncomfortable. How did God make Sisera uncomfortable?
All his troops were gone.
All his troops were gone, yes. And with the edge of the sword. Now, application for today. How can we make the enemy uncomfortable now?
With the sword, the word
of
the
soul. Ooh! So we make our problem uncomfortable by using the word of God, and God uses his word to do what? To make the enemy uncomfortable. Yeah. Now, Sisera rode in there on his chariots. Why do you think he rode in on his chariot? It's a symbol of power. That's what his trust was in. His trust was in his chariots. And let me go ahead and ride my chariot up in here. There you go. All right. But the chariot. Yes. And we see that in Judges 5. We're not going to go through Judges 5 today, but we see that in Judges 5, because when they start singing praises after all this happens. And part of the singing was that the rain got barred down. You got my thoughts there in 15a, and it comes out of Judges 5. And I think I got this out of one of my commentaries. Balaam is who they worship, and Balaam was a rain god. And so the rain bogged down the chariots in the mud, and they were of no use to them. That happened someplace else in the Bible.
Up in the Red Sea.
Red Sea, baby. Got stuck in the mud. Enemy got stuck in the mud. And the water took him out. Woo-hoo! All right. So we see the same, because it's the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, all right, coming down like rain, takes the chariots out. So he can no longer, check it out, he can no longer trust in his chariots or what he was most proud of. So now he has to run away on foot. All right. So, and I saw this last night. I was looking at this. This story is not just about Barak, but it's also about the purpose of God and the message to those who work against him and are outside of the kingdom. If you are trusting in somebody other than God, God will get your attention when that thing doesn't work out for you. Anybody ever trust in something other than God? It might have gave you some early success, but at the end you realize you can't trust on that thing anymore.
Yeah.
Nita, if you're trusting in Al to iron his shirts or whatever.
Yes, because I don't.
Oh, hello.
So Al, if no, I'm not gonna mess with this. I'm gonna just keep on going. Amen. I am not going to mess with this. All right. Here's some points. Barak chased after the chariots after he defeated the rest of the enemy. All right. And they were able to catch up to them, even though the enemy had chariots. And so it didn't do them any good. Sisera runs to Heber's house on foot because they were friends, blah, blah, blah. All right. Why is, here's the only thing I need you to get out of this, unless you see something else. By faith, God is fighting the battle for Barak. He's the same God today. All right. But now there's another lesson here. You got some other characters here, because we always focus on Barak. We focus on Deborah. We focus on Sisera, because he's getting ready to get smoked. But here's one thing that we overlook. There's somebody else that's in this story.
Jael.
Who?
Jael,
his
wife.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. She is in the story. But guess who else is in the story? I'll give it to you right here. There was not a man left. Who else was in the story? All those people who followed Sisera and were working against the kingdom of God and working against what God was trying to do through Barak. Here's your application for the day that I highlighted. When you hang out with people who are not God's people. This for Jalen, I guess. I don't know. When you hang out with people who are not God's people, there may be consequences. When you pursue the wrong things with the wrong people, God might start working against you rather than for you, and your defeat is imminent.
You said maybe. I would say always.
Go on. I'll roll with you on that one now. Sooner or later, God's going to allow to fail. All right, what you're looking for. All right, I got a couple of, what is these chats? I'm with you, I iron my own shirts too. Oh yeah, I got you, bro. Praise God for Jim Massey. You know what? God bless you, Norman, because I was getting ready to crack a joke about Jim Massey. I couldn't remember his name. I had a brain fog and couldn't remember who the heck it was. Yeah, it's Jim Massey, baby. Jim Massey. Hey, you know what? I might as well confess. Unless I ask my wife and beg her, she ain't gonna iron my shirts either, man. That's the only good thing about COVID. I can run out of here wrinkled. No, I can't ask her to iron. She's washing my clothes. As long as she's washing my drawers, what am I gonna ask her to iron for? I ain't gonna push it.
Because I wash my own clothes too.
Okay, you can never come around my wife because I don't want you to pollute her mind. In fact, none of you, I forbid any of you to contact my wife about you washing clothes. All right, let's finish this up. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not." And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle and said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink." She did better than that, for I'm thirsty. She opened up a bottle of milk. She gave him the good stuff.
Yeah.
Gave him some milk and cookies and gave him drink and covered him. Hit him. Yeah. There you go. Verse 20, again, he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? That thou shalt say no," because the enemy is always about lying. All right, because he's the father of lies. Verse 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him. Kind of like Roberta Flack. Killing me softly with his song. Anyway. And she went Roberta Flack on him, all right, snuck up on him, all right, and smote the nail in his temples and fastened it to the ground. So the dude is stuck through the ground, right? But he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. And so that's why I'm trying to tell my daughter, when she's dealing with my grandson, stop telling him what you're going to do. Just sneak up on that rascal when he's in the shower with a belt and just, and just nail his butt to the wall. Anyway, stop. All right. So here's just some stuff here. Jaleel means mountain goat and awesome stuff here in my notes. I'll put those out there as we get ready to wrap this up. All right. Again, here I got no great revelation on this scripture and why this happens. I got no great revelation. Except, God fulfills his plan. God said, hey, it ain't going to come through you. It's going to come through somebody else. And Deborah said, so God is just, you know, fulfilling his word. A woman defeats Sisera. And the other important thing is, it's important and it's in God's plan that your problem be completely defeated. Did you catch that? So we're not looking for a partial healing. We're looking for, okay, there you go. I mean, I'm not looking for just the Alabama website. I'm looking for excellence. I'm looking because God wants the problem and the issue to be completely defeated. Because if you don't completely defeat the problem, it'll come back on you.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the other thing. I mean, no great revelation. Look. In this story, look at the impact of women in ministry. If it wasn't for women in ministry, all right, God's going to have to move through somebody else because Barack ain't moving.
Marilyn said, silent but deadly.
Ooh, I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down. I'm putting that right there in my notes. How do you spell? Okay, Jaleel is. Oh, don't know how to spell silent anymore. Silent, but deadly. Woo! I'm gonna give her credit, man. That's what the class said. All right, amen. Okay. Listen. Okay. You save that. All right. Here we go. Getting toward the end. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. When you do this right, ooh, I don't have this in my notes. Let me do this. When you do this right for his glory, the enemy will not get up from this. The enemy? All right, let me fix that. Let me fix that real quick. Thank God for spell check. I see Jimmy back there talking about me. All right. All right. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Wow. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. All a process. God continually to move little by little. And they received a victory. And not just a partial victory, a complete victory. And they destroyed the problem. All right. Just some quick points here. You know what? It's always a whole victory for God, but sometimes we don't do what God says to do, children of Israel. not wiping out all of the enemy. And God allows some things to kind of hang around just to test us to see whether we're really going to trust him or not. Yep. But his ultimate plan, Deb, after his ultimate plan is that we not deal with those issues so we don't have any of those problems distracting us from the living God and from serving him. That's kingdom living. All right. All right. The credit goes to God, but he does it in the presence of or in front of Israel. Did you see that? So God subdued on that day the Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Why did God do it in front of all of Israel?
Testimony.
Testimony. And to encourage the people. Did we really need to pray for Mandy today?
Yes.
No, we didn't, because we already prayed for Mandy. But what did praying for Mandy like this do for anybody?
Encourage.
Ah. Well, I guess you have to ask Mandy to see if she's encouraged. But yeah, encourage. All right. So in that respect, and since that's biblical, and since Norman gave scripture out of the New Testament about the elders coming together to pray, I guess you're right, Susan. I guess this is what we were supposed to do. Because it lines up with the will of God. Okay. Oh, and you got to remember... Okay.
God's word also says, pray without ceasing.
Absolutely. I like this one, though. Remember when Jesus prays for Lazarus while he's still in the grave?
Yeah.
And he cries out to God in front of the people? He says, God, I know you. Father, I know you always hear me. You always hear me. But I'm doing this in front of the people so that they will believe that you are God. So sometimes when we pray corporately, it's not necessarily because, you know, because I'm prayed up before I get to the corporate prayer. But it encourages me and encourages others or whatever, and it lets others believe that he is truly God. All right. So once the enemy was nailed down, they prospered and prevailed against the enemy. All right. So what I say here is eventually, if you do this thing correctly, the enemy won't be around for long and you can expect prosperity. And here's the last point. God can bless something greater than you ever imagined, even though it doesn't happen the way you imagined it would be. Who ever thought that it would be Moodle? I didn't. Barack could have been upset saying, that was my kill. But that wasn't the way it's supposed to turn out. Have you ever had that situation where something gets done? But you complain about the way that it's done? My grass got cut. I didn't like the way they cut the grass. But I'm sorry, it got cut.
Yeah.
It didn't happen the way I already told you about my wife. I was supposed to be the curl. It didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen. My wife wound up doing it instead. But God's will is still being done. Stop tripping over it not happening the way that you thought it was going to happen. If it happened this way, it must have been for God's glory. All right? And then we got chapter 5, and you can read that. We're not going to go into chapter 5, but they sing a song. And in that song, you learn about how God moves through the rainstorm or whatever. But also, there's honor for the tribes that participated in Judges 5, verses 14, 15, 18. But some tribes didn't participate. Deborah calls them out. She says, Reuben, I'm with you, but I got to think about it. So he missed out. Gilead says, well, they ain't fighting on my turf. It ain't my problem. So they got cursed. And Dan said, I'm too busy. I got yard work to do today. So I ain't got time for this. And so they missed out. So here's and Asher stayed on the beach. I'm at the beach this weekend. I'll catch y'all next week. All right. So some people get cursed for not getting involved. Get involved, get involved, get involved. Kind of like what James Brown said back in the day. Get involved, get involved. Get involved so you don't miss out on your blessing. Okay. Now, it's 10:33. We're 3 minutes over. But before we end, just so that I don't make Al out of a liar, next week, we open up with Judges chapter 11, Jephthah. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor who was, he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. All right? And Gilead's son, verse 2, bare him sons, and his sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and they were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out before him. So we're going to close the lesson with this. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, even though he was a bastard. He was outside. He had a rough upbringing. He didn't have his mommy and daddy there to help him out. Rough, but he's still a mighty man of valor. Here's the point. Check this out. Having a rough start doesn't disqualify you or prevent you from being mighty and accomplishing great things, and that's good news.
Amen.
All righty. So, we have achieved our objective today.